A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business could be a driving force to create change or build an empire. We know old ideas aren't cutting it anymore, so we're calling for a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's up to us to make it happen. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalit.org today.
This is an ode to the glass noodle. You may be glass only in name, but our love for you is crystal clear in every Bibigo Korean dumpling. Your tantalizing texture tickles the taste buds, and while you are see-through, the world can't help but see you. The glass noodle, one of many obsessively crafted ingredients in every plump and juicy Korean dumpling from Bibigo. Go handcrafted. Go Bibigo. Authentic Korean dumplings now in the freezer aisle.
This is Podco Media Networks.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. We're back with Emanuele Dal Carlo of Fairbnb. Garnett and I continue our discussion and delve more into the background of Fairbnb and how Emanuele thinks it brings the idea of Airbnb back to its origins. This is the second part, and we'll have the third and final part of our chat next time. Let's join the discussion now.
I'm trying to remember the phrase for having a like a cultural development or even a business development or a social development that basically develops concurrently in multiple places. One of these, you know, smart business writers who, you know, does these popular business books has written about the phenomenon. And one of the interesting sort of hypotheses about that process is that in an age where we're all more and more digitally connected, that sort of concurrent, contemporaneous, innovation is more likely to happen, you know, more frequently going forward.
Yes, I agree.
This is a great example of that, because Airbnb, the devil is a very, you know, American, North American phenomenon, but then has spread globally pretty quickly. And the effects of that were felt in so many different nodes in the global tourist network. And the response was similar in many places. So, you know, I don't think grassroots actually is such a, you know, accurate term, you know, per se. It's kind of funny in this day and age to even use the phrase, right? That, you know, about something that really, you know, grassroots is for like political and social movements, you know, from like 150 years ago, that term is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is literally like a, you know, concurrent response that sort of prompts, you know, innovation in many places at the same time. But what's really interesting to me is that how the core team of 11 from many European countries primarily, and I guess Australia as well, how you came together. Maybe it seems unlikely that you would have met, but I guess maybe, you know, it is actually pretty likely.
Yeah.
Like-minded.
Beside that, it was the fact that so many movements around that just use the same name. It's so, such a obvious, no, it's kind of funny, but it's the first things that pops your mind if you want to highlight how you want to bring back a brilliant idea, because I want to go back on the evil word that you said about Airbnb before, because we don't think the concept per se is bad. We don't think the company is bad. We think just that it was a very good idea at the beginning. And I think what we are actually doing is taking great inspiration from a great idea and try to bring it back to its basis. I mean, if we had a time machine, I wish I could suggest the Fairbnb concept to the creator of other booking platform, because they would have had such an immense impact, positive impact in the world beyond the profit, beyond the fact that they allowed a lot of people in the world to become more wealthy through renting their rooms and to increase the family budget. But the creation of a circular economy in the destination is something that would have helped so much making the whole system, the whole business more sustainable and even profitable, but profitable for more people than just the one involved.
So I'm going to come back to circular economy. That's a great yes. thing to sort of delve into later on, but maybe this is a good time. And, you know, the time machine concept is a genius way of looking at it, but unfortunately not until Elon Musk, you know, decides that he wants to innovate in time travel, it's probably not going to happen. So let's wait for that one.
There's always the hot tub time machine.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. You know, I'm waiting for a really cool hot tub startup to be able to add on to time travel. Can you, in very simple terms, or maybe in list or bullet point fashion, can you just list yes. the core concepts of Fairbnb and we'll go from there?
Definitely. Well, first of all, we are trying basically to substitute or to create an alternative to the current extractive model of major booking platform that basically extract values from the destination and to give back control of the decision about sustainability of this kind of market to the local communities. How we do that? Well, basically in two ways. First of all, we have a growth model that is based on what we call local nodes. We aim to be what we call a knock-knock company. We don't put the foot in the door of communities. We don't just land in a place and open shop, but we actually engage with local communities before starting a destination. Therefore, we make a call, we organize meetup with locals, and we devise together what are the best way to bring our platform over there. First, talking with the resident. Then we apply several degrees of our concept. For example, we, like any other company, we apply a commission on the transactions of the booking, and we donate 50% of it to community projects that are near to the destination where the people are going to visit, the traveler visit. We work in two ways. So basically, we have a way to involve the locals in the decision and bring as much money as possible to the local market.
So I'm very curious about this sort of a Tom Shoes concept that everyone has espoused and sort of, I guess, improved on over the years. I want to drill down on that one notion of returning money to the local nodes, community-centric nonprofits and community programs. I am going to tell you I don't understand what exactly the impact of that donation or that flow of funds is going to have on improving the quality of life. Can you give me an example?
Yes, of course.
How that would work in practicality.
Okay, you know? Imagine, first of all, there are the preconditions. We work with local and national governments to devise the best way to minimize the possibility of unlawful businesses, unlawful accommodation to be present on our platform. So we are very proactive to find the best possible way in our tools without becoming a police force, obviously, to minimize the risk that there are unlawful businesses, therefore unregistered businesses. So we make sure that the people that actually offer their accommodation on our platform are at least paying taxes. With certain communities, we also devise special sustainability rules for that community only. For example, that the owner of the accommodation has to be a resident. So that also increases the level of sustainability because you know that you're bringing money to a destination and the money ends up for the bigger part in the hands and in the pocket of somebody that lives there and spends money there. Then there are the community projects. Community projects is 50% of our commission. So you know that another chunk of your, let's say, travel expenses ends up to foster some project that will benefit the residents. And this for us is a way of starting and fostering what we call a circular economy. Basically, if you book in Venice, to make an example of a city that you know that you're going to book a house or a bed and breakfast or a hotel of a family of residents there. So they're going to pay the taxes over there. And you know that there's going to be part of the commission that you pay to us as a cooperative that is going to be donated to a community project that you can actually engage with. You can go and visit it. You can participate to their activity. This is a way also to make the traveler feel more connected with the place.
COVID-19 patients need your help.
If you've fully recovered from COVID-19
or unknowingly been exposed to it,
you may have the antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients recover.
Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies.
Visit Vitalant.org today to schedule an appointment to donate blood.
That's Vitalant.org. Help save lives and schedule your appointment at Vitalant.org.
You could help save lives.
So all of that makes sense, and it really feels like you're addressing something that I think actually has become a problem for Airbnb, not for Fairbnb. You know, Airbnb, because they have so much Silicon Valley money and so much SoftBank money and whoever else it put, like, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in, you know, a big problem for them has been negotiating the tax and, yes, and sort of like, you know, subsidy problem, mostly tax problem on a city by city basis. And on a city by city basis, they're either very well received or, you know, they're, you know, in some cities across the US in particular, they're completely banned. You know, this whole notion of, like, you know, Airbnb for people who don't own their property, yeah, you know, is banned in many, many cities. And they've had a very negative welcome, like a, you know, yeah, not a good welcome in places like New York City, which I also know pretty well from living there.
Yes.
And it costs them a lot of money, and it's a, you know, from a business model standpoint, it's a lot of friction. You know, they spend a lot of money on policy and political activism,
yes,
and
lobbying,
that kind of stuff. And you started from a very different position that, you know, arguably from an intellectual standpoint, from a business standpoint, it takes a lot of the friction out of the business model because you're aligning with the local municipalities and their tax policies and, you know, their requirements, and then on top of that, you're pushing money towards local programs that, in some way, directly or indirectly, will help counter that feeling of the deterioration of quality of life.
Yes,
that's accurate, right?
Yes, it's very accurate. That's obviously as is a counter that we probably gonna grow slower, but it's in our plan. We don't plan to. I mean, I wouldn't call it Don Quixote thing, but we are actually trying to prove a point. We are actually trying to prove a point that a company can make money, be sustainable, pay good wages with a social responsibility approach, not just the profit. The profit is good. We have nothing against people making money, but it shouldn't be the main concern of a company. I mean, after all, I'm really concerned about what's going to be of these companies in the future, because when you start having 10, 12,000 flats in a city like Venice that has 53,000 inhabitants, you are actually going to destroy both the life for the resident, but also the experience for the tourism. The tourist doesn't want to go in a place where there are just tourists, especially if it's a city. I mean, you were mentioning Disneyland. Disneyland is okay, but when you want to see to Venice, you also want to eat like a Venetian. You want to hear the Venetian talking in the street. If you drive away the locals and you participate in the process, there's no way that you can say that 10,000 houses in a city of 40,000 is not a problem. So for me, it's curious how this company, they don't auto-limit themselves. They don't say, okay, we've done our studies, we pay our big, big brains that we pay a lot for these kind of things, and we devise that if we grow too much in that particular destination, we actually gonna make trouble for them in the long term, because we're gonna actually destroy the resource where we're making money from. It's like those companies that chop trees and they don't plant them again.
Yeah.
If you keep on cutting trees, the trees are gonna run out, isn't it? So your right. forest industry is gonna end one day, or you have to be like a swarm of grasshoppers and move from location to location, leaving the desert behind you. But I don't think the companies are evil. I think it's a short-sighted approach to grow in an unsustainable way.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, and because I'm not the smartest guy, I try to simplify things as much as possible. I actually think the simplest possible way of looking at this is something that you're already starting to see Airbnb doing. And they went, this is probably the third or fourth year they've gone big in this. You know, they started to realize, you know, at a certain point that they weren't selling the house. The house is not at all what they're about. What they're selling is the experience.
Yes.
And when you make that realization, then that is, to me, the bridge to like potentially significant common ground with Fairbnb. Because what are we saying when we say we're selling the experience? We're actually selling the ability for us to share the same experience and the same quality of life for a limited period of time that the locals have. So if you destroy the quality of life, you destroy even the potential for sharing that experience.
Exactly.
Fundamentally, that's it. That's as complicated as this gets, in my opinion.
Yes, I totally agree. I totally agree. And to tell you the truth, I think there's still time to go back.
Wait, in the hot tub? In the hot tub or some other way?
No. I think that these companies will change. We'll have to change. They're not stupid people. They're not evil. They're not bad. I think the guys that started it, they were amazing. They invented the market practically, and they've done a great job. But I think that obviously the pressure from the capital behind it to maximize the profit has kind of got into the way. But because the capital wants to keep on making money, I think they are coming to a point in which they will have to address the issue of sustainability, not just with makeup solutions or with fair washing solution or advertising, but with real substantial change in the model. And we hope that Fairbnb can be maybe a little hint. Maybe we are like a little tugboat trying to move the cruise line, isn't it? I mean, we're not gonna be the biggest boat in the world, but maybe we can show the way to a safer, better route to where everybody can make money, everybody can be happy, and you can bring a lot of people around the world in a sustainable way. After all, let's look at it this way. 20 years ago, the vegan friends we all had was the weirdo of the group, isn't it? It wasn't common.
What's different now?
joke, but what is different? Yeah, there are still some vegan activists if you go in a supermarket, you got aisles of products for vegetarians and vegans, which it was like 10, 15 years ago, it would have been weird, isn't it? It wasn't even the market there. And so the sustainability, I mean, we have companies. I mean, America is a great source of innovation. We got this Beyond Meat coming, all these new products, and they're making money doing things that are sustainable. So why not these giants, these mammoths of tourism can smell that there is money also in the sustainability, not just in the extractive business?
No, I think it's inevitable. I don't know that they're going to have a choice. You know, when you start looking at the amount of expenses they incur from that kind of friction with the municipalities, with the communities, with groups like there was a report last year that was issued by the European Parliament, right? And they mm-hmm. basically listed the top 30 or top 50 cities around Europe that were quote over touristed. You know, to me, that's like a hit list of problem areas in the Airbnb global network.
Yeah.
You know, that tells you where you're going to have problems right there. And then when that list keeps getting bigger and bigger, the economic logic of finding a different way that produces less friction and therefore fewer expenses, you know, that logic is going to become overwhelming. And I think that's what you're saying as well.
Yeah, also they get a lot of pressure, the guys from Airbnb, but they're not the only one, obviously, isn't it? I mean, we got HomeAway, we got Expedia, we got Booking.com, we got a lot of other companies, and they all have to come to term that if they ruin the destinations, people is not going to go there anymore.
Next time, we learn more about the co-op model that Airbnb is employing, plus how Emanuele ended up in the co-op, how Airbnb engages with brand ambassadors, Emanuele's marketing plans, and more. So stay tuned. Coming soon, we have Tyler Lorenzen of Purus, the company that is providing a key ingredient in meatless protein, pea protein. Plus, we have Ryan Merkley of Creative Commons coming up. Other discussions about the world of 21st century agriculture in Appalachia, F1, facial recognition, the food business, and lots more, all in the works. Next time, part 3 of our discussion with Emanuele Del Carlo.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit innovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.
You've never tried to eyeball 6 feet as often as you do now. You wear a mask, you wash your hands, and you've stayed within the walls of your apartment for more hours than you care to add up. But unless you live in a smoke-free building, you're not exactly home free. Secondhand smoke drifting through the cracks in walls or sink drains carries toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. And right now, lung health is key. Go to tobaccofreeca.com to learn how to stay safe.